May it please the Court, my name is Mark Keaton. I'm from Fort Wayne, Indiana, and I represent Calvin Keyes, the plaintiff appellant in this case. This is an employment discrimination case in which Mr. Keyes, a former employee of the defendant Fomex, alleges that he was a victim of race discrimination in two respects. First, Mr. Keyes contends that he was subjected to a reasonable suspicion-based drug test because of his race. And second, he alleges that he was terminated by Fomex because of his race. The Honorable Judge William Lee disagreed with Keyes and granted Fomex motion for summary judgment on both prongs of Mr. Keyes' claim. Keyes respectfully submits that Judge Lee's determination was in error and asks this Court to remand the case for trial. There were several key facts in the record that are undisputed. With respect to the substance abuse policy under which Mr. Keyes was allegedly terminated, that policy provides for two things. It provides for testing when there are workplace accidents or when the employer has a reasonable suspicion that an employee is at work under the influence. Second, it permits termination if a drug test reveals that an employee has reported to work under the influence. Mr. Keyes was not involved in a workplace accident, was subjected to the test based allegedly on reasonable suspicion. He's only one of two employees who've ever been subjected to a suspicion-based test by Fomex. Both were black. The record evidence is also clear that Mr. Keyes never violated the substance abuse policy. As he indicated in his summary judgment affidavit, he never reported to work under the influence of any intoxicant. He was not under the work, or did not come to work under the influence, and never reported to work under the influence. Yet he was allegedly fired for based on the results of a drug test, which did not in any way reveal that he had reported to work under the influence.
What did the drug test show?
Well, Your Honor, it's unclear because the drug test is in the record, but it was never proffered with any proper foundation. I think it would take an expert to tell us exactly what it means. It seems to indicate the presence of some metabolites that might indicate that there had been some marijuana use, which Mr. Keyes, in his deposition testimony, did not deny that at some point in time he had used marijuana, but he was quite adamant that if he did so, it was never at a time when he went to work, and he never reported to work under the influence. Fomex, although they received the results of that test and the decision maker apparently relied on the results of those tests, the decision maker never really explained what he understood those to mean. Fomex never supported that test or used it in any way to indicate that it believed Mr. Keyes had come to work under the influence. In fact, what Mr. Wellbaum's position was, he's the human resources manager, the decision maker in the case, is that substance abuse policy of Fomex's was a zero tolerance policy. That is, if you use an intoxicant while employed with us, whether you're coming to work under the influence or not, you can be terminated. The problem is the substance abuse policy doesn't say that whatsoever. It's quite clear that it is not a zero tolerance policy, and termination is only permitted if the employee comes to work under the influence. Again, why Fomex did not proffer the results of those tests in any meaningful way from an evidentiary standpoint seems to me to indicate that implicit in their position in this case, once it became apparent that Mr. Wellbaum was misreading that policy, they seemed to be taking the position that Mr. Wellbaum's misreading of the policy was an honest mistake.
But there's no dispute that they did rely on the test in his discharge.
There is no dispute that Mr. Wellbaum received the copy of that test, and he took the position that he relied on the test in making his termination decision and relied on an interpretation of the substance abuse policy, which is not only incorrect but impossible to square with the language of the and text of that substance abuse policy. What I will also say about that drug test is, in light of what the substance abuse policy really is, that test has no nexus whatsoever to the policy. It may or may not reflect whether an employee has engaged in the use of intoxicants at some point, but it does not tell anyone whether he's coming to work under the influence, which, of course, Mr. Keyes, in undisputed testimony, denies that he ever did. On the issues that were before Judge Lee, on the first issue of whether the requiring Mr. Keyes to submit to the reasonable suspicion-based test was in and of itself an adverse employment action, Judge Lee disagreed, relying primarily on the Stockett decision. Judge Lee took the position that Stockett holds that imposing an obligation to take a reasonable suspicion-based test can give rise to an adverse employment action, but only if that's if the test is performed in a manner that's not routine or harassing. We would disagree. We would argue that if a company has a policy that is only triggered for black employees, that in and of itself would be an adverse employment action. And the undisputed evidence here is that the only time Mr. Welbaum asked anybody to take a reasonable base suspicion test was when the employee was black. The record evidence reflects that at least two non-black employees whose conduct we believe a reasonable juror could find was at least as suspicious as Mr. Keyes and the other African-American employee who was forced to take the test.
What is your best evidence that Welbaum's explanation for treating Moreno differently is a lie? In other words, what is suspect about his explanation that he didn't think it was possible to test for alcohol addiction 2 days after the fact?
Well, I think the record is unclear as to why he's coming to the conclusion that Moreno's suspicious behavior is necessarily linked to alcohol. That's unclear to me. We know that Moreno came to work, was in no shape to work, and was asked to go home. Welbaum didn't see that. And the question is, why does he conclude that it's alcohol and not some other intoxicant?
Well, of course, there's no requirement of firsthand observation by the decision maker.
That's correct. But there's no evidence in the record to explain why Welbaum was concluded that it was alcohol, whereas with respect to Mr. Keyes, he's concluding that it's some other intoxicant. And Judge Lee did seem to think that there was a justification for not testing Moreno, even though he'd come in intoxicated, because for some reason Mr. Welbaum seemed to think that maybe it was alcohol and not another intoxicant. I see that I'm cutting into my rebuttal time, so I'll stop. Thank you.
Mr. Barnard?
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court, my name is Larry Barnard, and I represent the appellee, Fomex LP. The arguments we've just heard from counsel might have some merit in this case if this Court was to determine whether or not there was summary judgment should be granted on the issue of whether there was just cause to terminate Calvin Keyes. But that's not the issue before this Court. The issue before this Court is whether Mr. Keyes has established a prima facie case of race discrimination as a result of the drug testing, and his termination as a result of having a positive drug test for marijuana. And Judge Lee for the United States District Court for the Northern District of Indiana properly determined that there was no genuine issue of material fact. Mr. Keyes did not establish a prima facie case of discrimination, and even if he did, there were legitimate non-discriminatory reasons for the actions taken by Fomex, which were not a pretext for discrimination.
You know, the written policy seems to give supervisors some discretion in deciding whether to terminate an employee for alcohol or drug intoxication, but it seems in practice that the company always terminates employees who test positive. Now, if that is the case, then it becomes much more important that a visibly intoxicated Moreno was not tested. What reason did the supervisor who sent him home give for not sending him for testing? I know what reason Welbaum gave, but what's the reason that the supervisor gave?
Your Honor, there's no evidence in the record as to the reason the supervisor simply sent him home. The only evidence in the record is that it is Welbaum, as the human resources manager, who made the decisions concerning whether or not an employee would be tested. So, and in each of those cases, as Your Honor noted, it was Welbaum's belief that because the reports were that Moreno was drunk, and those are the words that Mr. Keyes used in his deposition, that he heard Moreno was drunk, that he believed alcohol was involved, and it wouldn't be possible to test him for any level of alcohol in his system 2 days after the fact.
So is there any evidence in the record regarding visibly impaired workers who were not sent for testing?
No, Your Honor.
No.
Other than what we've talked about with Mr. Moreno, there's no other evidence in the record concerning other employees, white, African-American, or otherwise, who were not sent for testing, who were visibly impaired.
So would Keyes have a case, do you think, if FOMAX sent home white employees who were visibly intoxicated but sent similarly impaired African-American employees for testing?
Well, if Mr. Welbaum, the decision maker, had made a decision that on an instance where he believed testing could show the existence of an intoxicant in the person's system in one circumstance and said, I'm not going to send the white employee home, I'm going to send the white employee home, but I'm going to send Mr. Keyes for testing, then perhaps he would raise an issue with respect to whether the two were similarly situated and treated differently. But even assuming that to be the case, in this case, if we're talking about the testing, we have to start off with the fact is whether or not the testing was an adverse employment action. And I think under the Stockett case, it clearly was not. Because the evidence in this case, in Stockett, this court held that suspicion-based drug tests can be an adverse employment action if not performed in a routine fashion following the regular practices of the employer, but in a manner that harasses or humiliates employees. In this case, there's absolutely no evidence that anything that was done with Mr. Keyes was done in a manner that was not in a routine fashion or in a manner to harass or humiliate him. The undisputed evidence is that no one at the facility knew that Keyes was being taken for a drug test, and the fact that he was drug tested was not made known to anyone at the FOMAX facility. Moreover, as counsel has noted, drug testing is called for in the policy. So there is nothing that would qualify under Stockett in this case as being an adverse employment action. Therefore, Keyes fails to make a prima facie case of discrimination with respect to the testing. With respect to his discharge, in this case, the undisputed evidence before the court is that every employee of FOMAX who had a positive drug test was discharged. The undisputed evidence in this case is FOMAX received the report of a positive drug test from Mr. Keyes. Under those circumstances, Mr. Keyes cannot show that similarly situated non-African-American employees were treated differently. Therefore, he simply, once again, cannot make out a prima facie case of discrimination. Finally, even if he could make out a prima facie case, the undisputed evidence in this case establishes that the reason given for his discharge was not a pretext for discrimination. And the argument asserted is, well, it was a pretext because it wasn't in compliance with what the drug workplace policy said, drug-free workplace policy. Well, it's undisputed that it was the human resource manager, Mr. Welbaum's interpretation of that policy. It was a zero-tolerance policy. If you tested positive, you were fired. And there's nothing to show that that was a lie. And in this regard, the argument of Mr. Keyes is analogous to the decision of this court in Pollard versus Ray Magnet Wire. In that case, the district court entered judgment for the plaintiff in a Title VII case, finding that the employer's proffered reason was, in fact, not true for the discharge of the plaintiff, and therefore that raised an issue which could get to the jury on the issue of pretext. This court reversed and said that the issue is not whether the employer was correct, it's not whether there was just cause, the issue is whether or not there was any evidence that they were lying about the reason, and absent such evidence, the plaintiff could not prevail in his Title VII action. That is precisely the case here, as correctly found by Judge Lee. For these reasons, Your Honor, we believe this court should affirm the judgment of the United States District Court for the Northern District of Indiana in its entirety. Thank you.
I wanted to make a quick point on rebuttal. Counsel, throughout his arguments, makes the point that there was a positive drug test. That's simply not true. We don't know exactly what that drug test revealed, but for a drug test to be positive, it has to be read against the actual substance abuse policy. The substance abuse policy here says you can't come to work under the influence of intoxicants. We've discussed Mr. Moreno, who clearly came to work under the influence, was not terminated, was not tested. And clearly Mr. Wellenbaum's decision not to test him is an indication that if I can't catch him now, I can't do anything about it because he won't be under the influence. But the fact that Mr. Moreno is, in Mr. Wellbaum's estimation, using alcohol is an indication that Mr. Wellbaum doesn't really believe that this is a no-zero tolerance policy. What it appears to us is that it's a zero tolerance policy for some employees and not others. We do believe that the Honorable Judge Lee erred, and we do ask the court to reverse the summary judgment decision and remand for trial. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Keaton.